Okay, School of Prayer, that's where we are at today. I want us to continue what we began last time. This is our second meeting for the year. And what I said last time is I want to declare the Word of God for the next season of this life. Remember I said that the word prophesy, we read from Ezekiel, when he said, Son of Man, prophesy. We said that prophesying, I was quoting a statement from the mouth of Pastor Kwajin, which he said is for the orderly arrangement of the earthly things to conform with that which is in the realm of the spirit. That is how it works. If God wants something done, he utters his words in the heavens. And those things are the things we hear, and we now have the duty and the responsibility on the earth to declare them on the earth so that they can come to pass. Remember, I emphasize the fact that prophesying is not the same thing as predicting. It's not as if a prophet is not one who will tell you what's going to happen in the future because that's a warning alone. No. A prophet also declares the word of God so that earthly things will become conformed with the plan and purpose of God. In your life, you must be careful. Please listen to this. We've said it many times. We can't say it enough. You have to be careful that you do not speak according to what you see and therefore declare what you don't want to see. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard me. Let me say it again. Sometimes you look at things in life, and the response of human beings is to, out of what you have seen physically, declare what is going to happen later. And then, when it happens, you will say, I said so. Now, what you don't realize is that it happened not because it was supposed to happen, but it happened because you said so. You said so is not a confirmation that you were right. It's a confirmation that you had power in your words to make it happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like, okay, you see, anytime I say something, no. It's like, now that you say so, you have said, please happen. That is the thing. So we have to be careful as Christians. Now some people tell you that, assuming that this is not going to happen. Did you hear what I said? It's not going to happen. Assuming there was a war in Nigeria and things became, you know, Nigeria broke up into pieces. Many people say, we said so. We said so. We knew it was going to happen. They do not realize that the main thing was that they were saying so. And in the continual saying of so, you get my joke there. In the continual so saying, do you understand? They were energizing. You know, life is first of all in the realm of the spirit. I say this all the time. That's where it's happening. Life is in the realm of the spirit, and then that is the way by which you participate in that spiritual thing is how we speak. Do you understand? That's a major participation. So what we are saying is going out into the spiritual realm. And then when those things happen on the earth, it will be that we said so. Yes, actually, we said so. But it's not as if my prediction was correct. No, it was like my commandment came to pass. That's more like what is happening. For that reason, Christians, be careful that you do not say, especially continually, that which you do not want to see. You are a parent concerning your children. Parents make that mistake a lot. You look at a child, you use his current behavior to predict his destiny. You don't realize that what you are saying is actually what is determining what his destiny will be, not that his behavior. The behavior is a temptation for you to say something. I'm talking with children. Very important. So if a child is behaving a particular way and you don't look like where that is likely to turn out, naturally speaking, you start speaking differently into his life, into her life, so as to order things to go differently. So that you won't say that, I always knew he, when he was small, he was very slow. He's still slow like that till today. If you, do you understand what I'm saying? No, you say, no, I cast out slow. I speak speed. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's bear that in mind. And that is the job of believers. That's my emphasis. That is our job. That is why he said, the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. That is how the thing that he wants to do gets done. And you are the prophet of God. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I want to bring that leg in. And the salt of the earth. That is, what happens on the earth is affected and determined by you. Well, we're talking about praying for our country. You understand? That's what I'm going today. But before I get into that, I want to read two scriptures, one of which we have read many times before. In fact, quite a number we are going to read. Quick, let's start from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I want to read verse 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Where I'm going is verse 12. But of course, we'll just back up slightly from verse 9, which is where the paragraph starts in my own Bible. It says, "But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation." He had given a warning at the beginning. He said, "Though we are speaking in this way, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, having ministered and is still ministering to the saints." Now notice verse 11. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Two words I want to bring out from there quickly: faith and patience. First, in verse 11, it says that we have to show the same example of diligence. We have to make sure we put diligence into what we are doing. Diligence means to apply energy, persistence, you know, pressure in the thing that you are doing. And two key words we see there, that of course the opposite of diligence is being sluggish. He says, so don't be sluggish. So these are the two key words: be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, now, so those are the two words I want to bring forth again, the word faith and patience. We already know what faith is. My emphasis is on the word patience. Let me just remind us of what patience is again. Before I say something about it, let's quickly go to that thing that Jesus taught us that time, which we have read again and again here from the book of Luke, chapter 18. This is a statement we have read many times, and I want to just bring out a comment that we have passed about it severally. He said in verse 1, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And now said there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man." The concept here was nobody was above him. Alright? Some people say that cannot be a type of God. It could be, because the idea is that nobody is above this human being. That's what he was trying to explain here. And then now talked about the widow that kept on coming to him. I'm hurrying because of time. And he said, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." That's New American Standard. But please, before I start talking, there's another scripture I want to read quickly. The book of Matthew chapter 7. Don't bother opening to it. I'll just tell you where it is. Something that we know already, many of us. He said, if you read it in an average Bible, this is how you get to see it. That's the book of Matthew chapter 7. It will tell you that ask and you will receive. That's verse 7 now. And then seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And anyone who seeks finds. And anyone who knocks, to him the door will be opened. Now I want to read from the Amplified Bible for you. Alright, please. It said, "Keep on asking and it will be given to you." That's Amplified. "Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking," that's reverently, "and the door will be opened to you." He said, "For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened." Now, there's a reason why I read this, and I think I read everything I want to say. I want to read, then I can answer the things I want to say for the next 30 minutes, then we'll begin to do our declarations. You know, when we were talking about this before that, Luke chapter 18, I emphasized something here. That why Jesus said, why he told the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to get tired or be discouraged, is simply because the likelihood is that you will be discouraged because of things that are happening outwardly. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the likelihood. That is, we're talking about praying for a nation. Two things I have in mind today. I want to declare the word of God concerning the church of God in Nigeria and concerning this country, Nigeria. And of course, any country you are listening to this from, you can also apply it to your own situation. Now, sometimes you pray for one thing, and then what you see immediately is not what you wanted to see. My emphasis today, talking about the issue of prophecy, that is prophesying, the issue of patience. In that Hebrews chapter 6, it said, "Be followers of those who through faith and what? Patience." First of all, what is patience? Patience is that I have faith for something, and then that faith is drawn over time. What it means is that Abraham was called, and 25 years later, he had not seen Isaac. Or 24 and a half years later, he had not seen Isaac. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But at the end of 24 years, he still believed the same God who called him 24 years ago. And at the end of the 25th year, Isaac finally manifested. That the fact that he kept on believing, despite what his eyes were seeing, is what is called patience. Do you understand what I'm going to explain there? That is what is called patience. The fact that we're talking about the power of words now. The fact that I keep on saying the same things, despite what I see outwardly. That's why I read here from that look at Matthew chapter 7 in the Amplified Bible. It said, ask and keep on asking. So this is my modification today. Declare and keep on declaring. Do not let what you see outwardly distract you from what you have been saying. That's what I'm going to emphasize to us. Do not think, because sometimes you may get people who come from maybe Abuja, and they'll tell you, if you see what is going on, oh, you know this country. These are things I hear all the time. If you see what is going on, you know this country has problems. They will start describing things to you. So sometimes when you hear some of these very negative things, they can be discouraging. Are you getting my point? They can really be discouraging. Maybe, okay, when PHCN was finally sold, you know, Gencos and Discos, you thought that after, some people thought that it would be like the days of telecom. Once they rolled out the licenses, 6 months later, phones were all over the place. 3 years later, phones were, lines were cheap and all of that. Of course, the technology is very different. You know, things are generally more complicated on this particular aspect. But people expected that, and it's not yet happening. So what happens is that the natural human mind gets tired. That's what I'm going to explain. And that's why the good Lord warned us ahead. The Bible says he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. They ought to pray and not to get tired. You know, ask and keep on asking. Declare and keep on declaring. Close your eyes to what is happening. What you are doing is that you are waging war. Do you get my point? You are waging war. You are waging war. You won't say, I fired 17 bullets. Their opponents are still there. So guys, let's stop firing. Do you get what I'm saying? The more of the opponents you see, the more the number of guns you pull in, and the more the amount of ammunition that you expend. If before you were, every 1 minute, you release like 10 rounds, now you have to release 30 rounds because they are coming in large numbers. You will not say that because I have not yet seen what I expect, therefore I will stop firing. And that's what I'm going to explain. All of these things, it is what? Warfare. What you are doing is to get engaged in warfare. For that reason, you cannot allow yourself to be discouraged. Another point I should quickly bring out, and that's the fact that your words are actually working. God is actually doing something. All the reports you hear, this is how Satan works. Listen to this. This is how Satan works. And that's how, you know the full meaning of CNN? Who knows the full meaning of CNN? Calamity News Network. Thank you. It is Calamity News Network. That's what we call Satan. They amplify the negative things so as to make you lose heart, so as to make you faint. Like when they want to pursue their own agendas. Like now, the other day I read a report on Charisma News, and they said something that even me had fallen for the opposite. They said, you've heard it before, that divorce rate in America 50%. 50% of all marriages end up in divorce, and that is the same rate that you have inside the church. Have you heard that thing before? Have you ever heard that? Do you know it's not true? The 50% in the general population is true, but that for Christians the same, I found that it's a lie. That the people who are actually churchgoers there, just for going to church, their divorce rate is much lower than that of the general population. So I can imagine that for those who are committed believers, theirs are even better. Do you understand my point? Their marriage is even better. Do you understand? So that the divorce rate is much lower. But then, Satan won't let you hear that. It keeps on amplifying to you. I told you before that when Benny Hinn, the man and his wife, got a divorce, of course, everybody knew. It was everywhere, everybody knew. I'm sure CNN carried it, because they had to show you that you guys are as bad as the rest of us. Then, 2 years later, the man and his wife remarried themselves in a grand ceremony. You should have seen it. I saw it on TV. About 2 days after it happened. You have seen the ceremony. Who officiated? Jack Hayford, one of the most prominent American Christians, editor of, Spirit Life Field Bible. Who was the guest minister? Alvin Slaughter. Who blessed the couple? Reinhold Bonnke. Yeah, No, I'm serious. This was the caliber of human beings they gathered. I've not mentioned the other. I'm just mentioning a few for you. The size of choir, we have not discussed it. I just mentioned one person who was leading songs, Alvin Slaughter, who the whole world, Christian world, knows. I just mentioned the officiating minister for you. I saw this one live on Twitter. You take this woman, this old woman, as a, your lawful. This was Abraham marrying Sarah. I mean, their grandchildren were on the train. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Grandchildren, I didn't say their children. No. Their children were there quite a lot. But I'm talking about grandchildren. So you don't blame me for saying like that. But then, do you know, most people never heard it. Very few people knew it until I told them. Why? The news won't carry it. It's bad news for them. That is why I tell people, in your country, listen, oh God, let me try not to preach too much, all right? Listen, if you're a businessman, we're all businessmen, amen? Amen. We are all businessmen and women, say amen. Even if ministry is your business, at least it's something you are doing. If a civil service is your business, it's something you are doing, all right? Let nobody tell you that you can't invest in this country. Now, for those who are investing a lot, all of us are investing, but you know what I'm trying to talk about. They say, don't invest in this country because you don't ever listen, invest. What did I say? Invest. Do you know why? Two reasons. One, people are investing and getting richer, and by the time you realize that nothing bad will happen, you will be poor, they will be rich. Do you get my point? That is number one. Number two is that God is not even judging you based on the outcome. He's judging you based on whether you invested. Every action in your life makes a statement. Every inaction makes a statement. Let me give you an example. You are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, progress, unity, we speak against war. Then they say, okay, please, they are selling land in this place, and if you have your factory, it will be good. Now you look and say, Ross, it's risky. Once you say it, your prayers in church are ineffective. This is business, this decision, though. It's canceling your all-night prayer. I've told you, all this hunger to pray, I'm sorry to say it, it doesn't mean anything. The real place of fasting. He said, is this the fast I have chosen? He said, this is the fast I have chosen. It is not the hunger. It is the thing. They are the things that you do that constitute the fast of God. It's easy to go hungry. Muslims do it every year. Broke people do it every day. No, I'm serious. You can be paying God off with your hunger. I'm telling you. You can be out there paying God off with your hunger while disobeying Him. You want to see a fast. I'll tell you what a fast is. Real fast is that they say, you don't know this country. Okay, let me give you an example now. All right? I'm from, naturally speaking, I'm from Western Nigeria. You know that. The other day, who was I discussing with? I said, I bought land somewhere. So my wife and I are discussing that we want to build a house. Where? I said, what's wrong with you? I live in Enugu. Where should it be? I don't know what I hear what I'm going to say. What is the why? What is the where? The idea is that, okay, is it... Are you going back to Ondo State to go and start laying foundation? Are you getting what I'm saying? Then I wake up in Enugu every day. I'm blessing the land. I am praying for the land. It will prosper. It will make progress. Then you now dash me some millions of naira. I will now go to where? To go and build house. I smoke something. I'm not kidding. Literally. In fact, I don't remember to pray for Ondo State unless I'm praying for the whole of Nigeria. Yet Enugu, I declare over Enugu regularly. I'm driving at night, I'm speaking. My wife and I, we are gisting, we are declaring. I have not prayed for the next governor of Ondo State. It's not that you and I are talking, I realize that those prayers are possible. Yet in Enugu, I have decreed. I don't know whether you get my point. I have decreed and I have, in the realm of the spirit, warned whoever wants to be the next governor. Do well or you will not last. You now give me money to build a house. It will be foolishness. I don't know what is my point. Where I have sown the seed, I'm not going to chop the fruit. Do you get what I'm going to say? This is where I sow seed, for goodness sake. I'm talking about spiritual seed. I don't mean put all money in offering basket. I'm talking... No, we have to know it. Now, you know, Christians, their minds have been so corrupted. They don't know the meaning of things sometimes. So you have to say, it's true. The seed I'm talking about is the word of God. I have planted more word of God seed in this state, not less than 20 times that which I planted in my state of natural birth. Not less than 20 times. Listen to me. I must collect my portion of the fruit. The Bible says... Yes, he said, the husbandman that labors must be a first partaker of the fruit. Can't be here every day declaring that you're going to share better thing for the town. I don't go call and say, oh, no, you know I'm from Ondo State. Give yourself a knock on the head. Now, I'm talking about statements, you understand? Your actions or inactions, they make statements. Now, say, what if it is risky? That is it. Faith is risky. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, what if one day somebody just drives, okay? They say, Abia for Abians. You know, there's one joke they were cracking. Can you remember it? It happened a few years ago. As I tell you, say, in this country, better forget, better believe in God. There's no, you don't have any brother anywhere. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because by the time you finish dividing Abia for Abians, you now see it's Ungwa for Ungwans. You know, they will shift those from one area. Then when you reach there, they go divide them again. Those from Isia Langwa, for those from the Ukwa Langwa, move away. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So the people said, okay, what if that happens? I said, well, look, this is what I'm talking about. That is real fast. I'm talking about real fast. To be able, to be willing to lay down, say, okay, if I lose it, let me lose it, but this is where my investment is. That's the fast I'm talking about. This going hungry is a cheap way to do it. You want to really do the fast of God, you put your money at risk. Carry your money to run that. You know, sometimes I look at people, I feel sorry. I don't want to start preaching that message now. Listen. These are your children. Especially those of you who have money. Make sure your money is not a disadvantage to them. I see we export children every day. Like commodity. If you are listening to this, all I want to do is beg you. Make sure that your money does not become a problem for your children in the future. That's all I can say. Many Christians who are praying for the country, they are praying. Their prayers are not very effective. Why? They have exported their children. Their heart is not there. The children have been exported into safety. Then you come to church and say, we are praying for the country. You're fast. Well, my brother, better go and eat. Honestly, go and eat. You have protected yourself so well that your heart cannot groan. I'm telling you. This is what I'm making. So don't let the things outwardly, all right? Don't let them discourage you. That's what I'm trying to say. Do what is right all the same. And let, I like, once I heard that, I listened to some Pastor W.F. Kumuyi tapes. That was some years ago. And he made a statement. It was giving some characteristics of faith. The only one I remember very clearly, this quite means, I mean, this is about 8 years ago or so, what I'm telling you about now, the messages. The one I remember is one that he said, faith risks. That's what he said. It takes a risk. That's what, that one stuck with me because that's the only time I ever heard anybody say it. Faith sometimes is a matter of if I perish, I perish. Listen, I would rather save money, invest it in Enugu, and then one day, one man wakes up and says, Abia for Abians, and kicks me out. I will feel better. Are you getting my point? I will feel better even though I lost a 50 million naira investment. Than for it to be that while I claimed to be praying and ministering in a particular place, I had no faith in it. In the realm of the spirit, my brother, my sister, your actions are making statements. And these are the things that God puts together. All right? To determine what somebody's future will be like. To talk. Talk is not the thing. Just that talk, say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Then when you start making decisions, say, God, we'll go praise you, but let's just wait. Let's make sure we are safe. Sometimes we just take the risk. There's one man, I read the story. I have said my Father in heaven. That one are faith. God has to breathe into you the spirit of faith. Please, if you have not read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, go and read it. You need that spirit of faith. This man, he was an educated and privileged Indian who felt God had called him. I thought the story, the name of the book is The Book That Changed Your World, something like that. That is how the principles of Christianity from the scriptures form modern civilization. That's what I'm going to say. But when the man told the story, I said, my father, I've told the story here before. He had to go and minister. He relocated from the city, that's in India, and then went into the villages, the rural areas, to go and live. Now, these are violent places. Once he traveled, his father and his mother decided to, you know, take care of their children while they were gone. That he and his wife, they traveled. Do you know these hoodlums attacked the family? And they said they were going to remove the eyes of the father. The man had to pledge that he would give them all his life savings if they spare his eyes. So they had an agreement. Can you imagine, thief enter your house? You didn't do anything against him. These are demon-possessed creatures. And the old man, true to his word, next day, he had an agreement with the thieves. He went and gathered all the money he had from the bank and dropped it somewhere for them. Of course, he returned back home in the midst of all of this. And of course, everybody told him that, look, what are you doing there? And this is a privileged young man. He didn't have to be in the village. He could go back to the city and make a good life for himself. He said, no, this is where God wants me to stay and minister to people. The next thing he knew was that people were pressuring him. You can't stay here. You from where you are, just be sponsoring the work and coordinating it. He said, no, I'm staying. Let them come back. They said, okay, what about your wife? He said, all right, he will leave his wife to make the decision. So, of course, it's not easy. I mean, they're virtually unprotected. These are armed bandits. These are not jokers that you are dealing with. So the wife said, okay, give me time to pray. The wife prayed and prayed, and then they came back one day and told the husband, look, if you are staying, I'm staying. It's for better, for worse. So the woman stayed. Now listen to this. Some people, you know the way these kind of good works, they spread around. They have been observing the work, so some Americans wanted to come and help them. And the Americans were women. When this crisis broke, are you still going to go? I don't know whether it's one or two of them. Are you still going to go? They said, they were considering it. So they were observing. Do you know what they were waiting for? They wanted to know whether his wife would stay. They are women. That's a woman. So when they heard that the man's wife was going to stay, they said, we are going. Say, if not die, we'll go all die together. See how God will work. When the Americans arrived, the bandits said, these are Americans, so Americans have planted them there now to come and catch us. They ran away. This is how God worked. When the Americans arrived, maybe one or two women, the Jews spread around that these guys came from America. And if you know the world, the way they fear and hate America. So the bandits just talked to them and said, oh boy, those people that have eyes in the sky, if you touch one of them, they actually were planning to attack the family. But when they heard that the American woman or women came, they just left them alone. And his work continued to flourish. This is the way God did it. Some of these things in life, they attest to. I'm not saying you should take a rash decision. The woman went and prayed. After some days of this, that's what I talk about fasting. Not fasting to kill your enemies. All the witches in your neighborhood. All the neighborhood will think you are a witch also. So your fasting is confirmation. You say, can't you see that man? He has donated his soul to the devil. He'll be getting thinner and thinner and thinner. You don't know how human beings interpret things. If you grow fat, they say he has donated his soul to the devil. He'll be getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Whichever one. I know we're talking about fasting. This one, they went and settled down, prayed, the woman came with a decision. The man said he didn't want to pressure her at all. The woman said to him simply, if you stay, I'm staying. It's for better, for worse. Are you getting the point I'm making? And the Lord now used that one to work out deliverance for them. How did I even get into all of this? Let me try and retrace my steps. I was trying to explain the fact that, listen, don't be discouraged with what is going on outside. And even if it looks like it's risky, there are risks you take as a sign of your faith. I mean, look at money. Money is a simple thing. So if you invest money here, you could lose it. Say, but I'm praying for the place. Let me lose it. Put the money inside there. Continue praying for the place. This, my money, is a sign to God that I really mean it when I said he should bless this land. He said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. And God answered. He said, go and sow in tears. What does it mean to sow in tears? He said, he that sows in tears, carrying his bag of seed, shall doubtless again return with rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. What was he trying to explain? They say, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. They were talking about the fact that the land is dry, things are not working. And God said, don't wait for me to pour water. Sow in the land, then I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. That is why you don't just pray for a country, you put your money inside investments inside there. Do you hear what I said? You can't be praying for Nigeria and investing in America. That prayer will never work. You are praying for Nigeria, your investment is in Tunisia. No. It's a restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. At the end of the day, the answer was, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. After you have finished praying the prayer, he says, start sowing in tears. Let me try and remember where I started from. And that's the fact that we must never get discouraged. If we are sowing our words, let us continue sowing the words. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, one of the things I will teach you about later, maybe on Saturdays, talking about this kingdom lifestyle, is the fact that you're not just laboring for yourself. All these labors are not just for yourself. It's just to fulfill the will of God. We are not praying for our nation or the church of God only because it will be a blessing to us. No, we are praying those prayers because we know that this is exactly what God wants to do. God wants to renew his church. He wants to fill it with truth. He wants to bless the land. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And if you own something, you don't want it to spoil. Do you hear what I said? I don't know whether I hear that. Therefore, God desires for good to be in this land. That's it. So, whether now we'll partake of it if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that amen is not convincing.
Amen.
Let your amen sound like thunder.
Amen.
Oh, they love me. I should do things like that more often now. All right, the Lord is good. So now we are going to eat of it, most certainly. But I'm saying whether we do or not, the fact is that it is the will of God. That is, even if I was 99 years old today, and I feel like, well, in the next few years, I should have departed from this earth, I will still be doing what I am saying now. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Knowing that this is what God wants to do. Go and read it well. To bring God's promises down to the earth, the Bible said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not inherit those promises. But they saw them from afar, and they rejoiced, and they confessed that they were just pilgrims on this earth. That is, they are just here to do the will of God. They have done their part in bringing the promises of God down to the earth. And with that, they were glad. Do you get my point? That's it. So, what's the summary? We walk with patience. That's the summary. No matter what we are saying, we maintain one thing. What we have been declaring concerning the nation, what we have been declaring concerning our lives, and what we have been declaring concerning the church of God. And what I want us to do today, yes, I think I've done well with my timing now, is I want us to pray for two things. One, this is the election year in Nigeria. And then also, I want us to understand again that the most important thing in this country, as far as I understand it, is the church of Christ. And the major problem we have had in a country like ours, we've prayed about it before, just wanted to declare the word of God, is that there's too much, when you see corruption in the world, let me say it again, it is because the corruption exists inside the church. For the amount of Christianity we have in Nigeria, if the corruption did not exist in the church, the one in the world would be difficult. It would really be difficult. That's a matter of fact. So we need to pray. We need to pray for truth to, you know, fill the church of Christ. And then, of course,